Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen. Remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah, of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well...
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.
Hi, everyone. This is Yasmeen Hamadi, and you're listening to Dare We Say. Not only am I referred to as Yasmeen Hamadi, I'm also referred to as God's favorite, the cutie pie over there, the nugget, the fattest ass in all of the west of the Mississippi, the pretty one, the one with the beautiful eyes, Nathan Fielder's wife, the one you love, the one you take home to your parents, the one you adore. My producers are telling me to wrap it up. We are going to be doing something a little different today. Josie's going to enter in the villa. No, this is not Love Island. I just wanted to say villa. It's been a long week. And we are going to be talking about all things internet, all things frenzy, all things dark web with someone who we have not many things in common with, specifically in age. And his name is John, not Lovett, sorry, Favreau. Today, we're going to be joining John Favreau with his podcast offline with who? John Favreau. We'll be right back.
Josie Tota and Yasmeen Hamadi, hosts of the fantastic show, Dare We Say. Welcome to Offline.
Oh my God, we're so happy to be
Thank
here.
Thank you for having us.
I mean, our producers have wanted to do this crossover for a while now, I think mostly to have fun at my expense as a 41-year-old who is hopelessly out of touch with the social media habits
Got
of 20-somethings. And I'm always down to be embarrassed, so here we are.
I think you're selling yourself short. I think... The younger children, I think you'd be happy to hear that you've quite a big fan base.
Yeah, you do.
Among the Gen Z, the children.
I already love this
They
episode.
Love you.
Yeah, you're like, this is actually the reason why we're doing this episode.
This is what I wanted to hear.
You know, before you came in, I actually was doing the intro for Dare We Say, and I was like, we're going to be with a 37-year-old. So I thought you were 37, and then Caroline quickly shut that down. So...
No, I'm not. No, my younger brother is who Josie knows is that age.
But. Played my uncle on a short-lived television series.
That's right.
Called
Andy
Champions.
And Josie worked together.
Oh my God!
Yeah. Shout out Andy Favreau, where I also played a South Asian character. So
already, and the times were different.
Times were different. It was I don't even know
times
how many
were
years
different
ago now.
Back then. Yeah. Times were different.
So we asked people for questions, and just as an example, I got this reply that was definitely not a question. OMG, Favs is like their grandfather. So that's one thing that happened.
How does that make you feel?
Fine.
Okay. You're like, I sleep well at night. I don't care.
I have a few actual questions for the two of you.
Please.
About your experience being the most online generation yet. But feel free to jump in at any time if you have questions, comments, mockery for me, whatever.
Slay.
Okay. First question. What do you think is the biggest generational divide in terms of how older and younger people use and think about social media?
Wow.
Yaz, you want to go first?
Yeah. Okay, so first of all, love that you called me Yaz. I'm so grateful that we're on that.
we're on
that level now.
That's how we are.
I think the big one is, my parents always say this to me, why do you want to put your whole life on social media? Mm. Why do you care to share everything on social media? What you're doing, whether that's a story, a post, tagging the location, whereas my parents are very removed from that. So I think our generation want to capitalize off social media and make something out of it. Whereas I feel like your generation kind of wants to share it in like a more playful way. Does that make sense?
It does make sense.
Okay.
Well, I mean, what... Josie, why do you, if you agree with your co-host, why do you feel like you want to share so much of your life on social media?
I think as young people, and specifically our generation, we have a tendency to want to feel closer to other people and to feel less alone. And I think we have capitalized off of social media and weaponized it as a way to connect to people who are like us, especially if you are from a marginalized community. I mean, even just growing up as a trans person in, you know, Northern California, I didn't know anyone else who was trans. I had never met a trans person. Mm-hmm. I had never even heard of a friend knowing a friend that was trans. And having social media to kind of make friends online or just get advice from like a big sister or an older friend that you would in real life was instrumental. Mm-hmm. And I think young people really understand the power of connection. I think that this might be, I mean, it could be untrue, but in my opinion, I would say that most of the polarization we see in media is coming from older generations. And I think younger people are actually trying to merge that divide.
100%.
That's interesting. I think I'm an interesting case. My generation is an interesting case because I think we're sort of on the edge. Like,
right.
I spent the first 20 years of my life without social media.
Yeah.
And then I have spent the last 20 on social media. Mm. I feel like when I started to get on social media, like when I first got on Instagram, it was a place to connect with friends.
Yeah.
Which is what you guys are talking about, which I really loved. I think where social media, at least for me, has gotten worse is when those connections go beyond just friends or people that you meet online that become your friends. And it's instead the whole world that you're talking to and dealing with and hearing from all the time.
Oh, yeah. I think social media is such what a convenient place to have an opinion also, because you can hide behind a screen. There's a lot of like user 7321,
yeah.
User blah, 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 like a lot of catfishes out there that are so willing to just put their opinion out just for the sake of putting their opinion out.
Yeah.
And I feel like I think there was a study that did this that the majority are men in like the Midwest or like the South of the United States that are like in their 30s that just love trolling.
Yeah.
And this is big, I don't know, with the gaming community or whatnot, but they love having an opinion and starting havoc just for the sake of havoc.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the difference also, because like they're not exactly your generation,
yeah.
but they're not ours. They're right in between us.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Sort of lonelier dudes.
Lonely men.
Dudes.
Yeah. That just, they resent people having a community. Therefore, they're coming in and trying to rip it apart.
Yeah. Is there anything that, Ruben asked this question, a username Ruben, is there anything younger, more online people wish they could have experienced like the less online generations before them?
I think even just growing up, you know, we talk about it a lot on our show and even just amongst each other as friends. It's not normal to like see each other or our own faces this much.
Mm.
And as actors, I think that's something that like we have to reckon with. But like that's something that everyone can relate to now, is we're so aware of every single detail of our appearance and what we look like at any moment of the day or any second.
Yeah.
As young people, our like camera, as pathetic as it sounds, is like opened like a million times a day. You know,
yeah.
it's so weird. I don't even know if you know that, but like, yeah, someone's always looking at themselves when they're moving about their day. And I think just growing up is something that we miss out on, like having a genuine puberty experience.
Yeah, Joyce.
Without having to have every second of their lives documented. And I think that stunts a lot of growth in people.
Huh.
Yeah, 100%. I think it's also, we don't go outside as much. We don't, like the very simplest of things, we don't enjoy the basic aspects of life. Like I'm at fault for this too. Like when I go outside and the tree's looking really beautiful, instead of like going to touch a tree or like look at a tree, I'm like, let me take a photo of this first.
Yeah.
Like, let me document this first in story. Or when I'm going out to a restaurant and the food's really beautiful, instead of like being mesmerized by the food and being like, I can't wait to eat this plate, I'm like, let me take a photo of this first. Let me show the world this.
I remember, I think it was Earth Day, like many years ago, in like 2008 or whatever, and Disney Channel stopped all programming for an entire day and said, like, you just need to go out and play outside. And that memory just came back to my head. I was like, there would never, and we didn't have Instagram. We didn't have Instagram then, me sounding like an elder when I was literally 6 years old. Back in the day, she's been through it. She's had growth. She started in the sticks.
Please, chip on her shoulder. But like, you've come so far, babe.
But you can't just shut down all social media, you know? Like, there's, everything is always on. I can't even go 10 minutes without being spoiled by the White Lotus finale because I haven't even had enough time to watch it. And that fucks you up, you know? Yeah.
That's emotionally, specifically the White Lotus finale. That's, like, traumatizing for someone.
No, I couldn't watch it even for an hour and a half. And I had to, like, plug in my phone and I just left it somewhere because I was like, I can't even pick up my phone because, forget about Twitter, like, friends would text about it. The one experience I wish that you both could have had that was that I used to have when I was in college. So we had instant messenger in college and no phones. We did not have cell phones or at least not like smartphones.
Yeah.
So you would go out to a party. You go out with your friends to the party and then you'd have the party. Everyone would split up, do different things. And then the next day you would go to brunch in the dining hall. And that would be the first time you heard about your friend's night and what happened.
The debrief.
And there was a full brunch debrief that never happens now, I would imagine.
The anticipation.
And the stories. And you connect over those stories at brunch. And it's something you look forward
to.
And now it's all sort of instant and everything's planned. And you know where everyone is all the time.
I completely agree.
I will say, we try to do that. We do something in our friend group where we give teases. Where we're like, okay, I need to refill on this, but I'm like, can I at least have a tease? And so we'll give like keywords.
Yep.
And we love a debrief.
No,
we always do coffee in the morning.
Always do coffee, and it's always on the couch, and like all of us will come together, and the teaser cannot be like more than two sentences.
That's
long.
Good. I and like that.
But that is true though. If you ran into your ex, you would just text me in that moment and be like, I ran into my ex.
But then you would make sure to say, and this is something I really value in my friendships, is that I don't want to hear about it that night. I want to have the community together tomorrow morning and let's do the debrief. Like, it is literally a ritual of sorts of like having that moment. And it's like my friends in college and I were talking about it because I was in Santa Barbara this weekend with them for a birthday and we like had a little bit of fun. And the next morning we're like, let's talk about it. And we were together too. We weren't on social media. We weren't talking about it, but it's like being together on a couch talking.
It's great.
Talking tea. Like that is, I don't know. It's
rare. Part of it is like all my friends, none of us, there's one friend that we have who's still single. And so like now all of it, we're like, tell us your story. Like, did you go on a date? Tell us about the date.
Yeah.
Because none of us have any other news. We're like, we're married. We did what married people do.
And what is that? Married with children?
Married with children, we watch TV till 8:30 or 9 o'clock and then go to bed.
Sure.
Or if there's like a big night out and we got a babysitter, then, you know, we go out till 11
debrief,
or 11:30.
The debrief in the morning on FaceTime with the baby.
Yeah, there's somewhat of a debrief. Like that's what
like that Dateline episode last night was insane.
Dare We Say is sponsored by BetterHelp. This holiday season, do something for a special person in your life. Who? You. Give yourself a gift to raise your spirits and not just for the day. The holidays can be a really tough time, take it from me. Between managing family dynamics, racing from thing to thing, and braving the cold and dark weather, it's normal to feel down. Having someone to talk to about how you're feeling and what you can do about is truly a gift. Therapy is very important to me with having a variety of, you know, have anxiety, trauma, depression, thing after thing. It's hard sometimes and it's lonely and it's really nice to talk to someone. And quite frankly, your friends, your family, social media, they are not your therapist. They are not your journal, honey. You need someone professional to give you the advice you need to get better and to see the world through a different lens and to learn how to love yourself more. As the world's largest therapy service, BetterHelp has matched 3 million people with professionally licensed and vetted therapists, 100% online. Plus, it's affordable. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to match with a therapist. If things aren't clicking, you can easily switch to a new therapist anytime. It couldn't be simpler. No waiting rooms, no traffic, no endless searching for the right therapist. Learn more and save 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/dare. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/dare. We'll be right back.
How much pressure do you feel to post about social or political issues or causes or events?
I think it's become so ingrained in our culture. And we also discuss the really tight line between performative activism and posting authentically because social media has become such a utility in our lives that it almost feels wrong to not post about things that are happening in the world if you have time and if you are posting about, you know, your beach bikini pics and what have you. Even to the point where I had written this like sweet paragraph in my notes app one day when I was feeling emotional and was reflecting on the past 4 years that I had been at college and stepping into my gender identity and my truth and myself. And I sent it to my mom and she was like, this is great, but it doesn't mention anything to do with Iran, and that's where you should be really focused right now.
Oh.
And this is like a few weeks, this is like a month ago.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm posting about Iran, mother. And that is so much obviously more important in my opinion than what I'm saying
right
now.
Yeah.
But I'm like, even my mom is like, but also that'd be inauthentic for me to just end a paragraph, you know, shouting out this obviously very important.
Yeah, you're like, pray for this country.
Also so, Iran.
Yeah, also Iran.
Also Iran, which by the way, also Iran.
Yeah.
We are going through a revolution right now and everybody should be informed of this and should look it up if they don't know what we're talking about. But even to the point where my mom is mentioning it, it's like, it's become such a part of our vernacular that it's like, it's a difficult line to toe.
Yeah. Like Josie said, we have an episode on this, like the award for best performative activism on Dare We Say. And I'm split. I have two opinions because to a degree, I do believe that if you have a platform, you 100% have a responsibility to post about things.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, if you have a platform, you have that responsibility. That being said, if it's not authentic, if you're not educated about it, if you've not done your due diligence and your research, don't do it. Don't do it. Like,
because that would be my, like, I do this for a living, right?
Yes.
Like, I'm a political news junkie, so I'll post about,
right.
I can post about most things. But most people shouldn't have to know about everything.
No.
Like, it'd be nice if you were educated about every issue in the world. But if you're not and you still feel like you have to post about it anyway, I feel like that's when people get into trouble.
100%. And also, you have to protect your peace at the end of the day, too. Because, like, the girls and I have talked about this. There's so many awful things going on in the world constantly. And, like, we're literally burning into shreds right now with our climate. And, like, things can be so daunting and so sad that posting about every sad and horrific issue might do more harm than good.
Yeah.
Might do more harm than good. So I think taking a step back and just feeling like taking out that pressure, but also knowing if you do have that, if you are on a, not a pedestal, but people do look up to you and people do come to you for news, acknowledging that and then going forward.
Yeah, I think you can make the world a better place and work to improve things without just like bumming everyone out all the time.
Oh my God, yes. 100%. No, and that's something I really like about Pod Save America, and specifically a lot of the shows on Crooked, is that we all bring levity to these news.
I think it's important.
Because that's how hope...
Levity.
Yes. hashtag John Lovett. But that's how we move forward, is because we'll all just sit in a pit of our own tears for years.
Yeah. And that's not helping anyone.
No, that's not.
Yeah. You only live once. Caro on Instagram asks, you guys should talk about dating apps. They're terrible. I just miss dating apps since I met Emily like right before dating apps took off.
Really?
So I've totally missed them. Do you use them?
Lucky
Are they
you.
Terrible?
I have been on famously one date on a dating app. So I do not use them. They don't work for me. I'm more of a... I used to be a really like a Instagrammer dating app person, like using Instagram.
Yeah, you were a DMer.
Okay.
I was a DMer. I'm a recovering addict.
You're
I don't do that anymore. I don't know where I had the confidence to do such a thing. But now I'm just kind of like, I'm waiting to get smacked in the face on accident by a man in like a cafe and like I fall to my knees in love.
Please.
That's great.
I don't know why our meet cute is like domestic abuse.
Please,
I'll work
I can't.
On that. But Yasmin is the person that I get all my dating app stories from.
So I actually met my current, like, I hate the word partner so much.
Lover?
But like my person that I know,
it's like a boring sort like, of antiseptic
I hate it.
Word.
Like my That's partner. Yeah, like yeah. I'm like, we're not 90. Right. Like we are in a committed relationship, but like yeah. I'm not like, this is my partner. Like, no, this is my person. We actually met through Hinge. And so, okay. yeah, so we met.
Hinge has always seemed like the friendliest, safest one.
It's the safest one because Tinder's like for like if you want to like hook up, strictly hooking up. Bumble is kind of like, oh, women make the first move first. Like, oh, just relax.
Yeah.
Like literally relax. Hinge is like the apps that's supposed to be deleted, and that's kind of iconic, which I did delete it actually, you know, and like I sent my person a rose because you could do that. Dating apps are fun, but like there are a bunch of weirdos on there, and also people are not taking it seriously.
Seems like it would get exhausting.
I encourage people to talk to more people in person.
Yeah.
Which is sounds, I now I sound like I'm a co-host of The View or something. Speaking
yeah.
of children.
Okay, go off me
when I'm literally
like
that person.
I like this.
I am that person that needs to be told this to, but like I will go up and just talk to random people all the time. Especially now I've been living in like a foreign country for the past 6 months and I've gotten bored of just life. And so I've gone up to random people and just been like, hi, how are you? And I would encourage it. I think it creates connections that are more genuine and authentic. And you're not hiding behind a phone. You're forced to like show up for yourself.
Yeah.
But also, you do meet, I mean, I hate to play the devil's advocate, but like then you do meet some good people. It's very rare because I've been on, Josie knows, I've cried to her. I've cried over bad dates on Hinge and on Bumble and on these bullshit apps.
Yeah.
Like, these guys suck. And then you meet, like, this girl, like, one girl who's, like, changes your life. And, like, she's incredible on Hinge. And, like,
I've heard it both ways. Look,
we're in love.
I met Emily at a bar randomly.
See, that's
totally
great.
Just
that's
randomly
great.
At
yeah.
a bar. We our group of friends went up to her group of friends, and that was that. And then I have friends who met their spouses on dating apps.
Yeah, so it's
and
it's
worked out well.
It goes both ways, you know.
It's whatever floats your boat.
It's whatever floats. It doesn't float Josie's, and it floats mine perfectly. But
there you go.
Yeah.
Katie on Instagram says, "What are your favorite emojis, and which ones do you think are cringe?"
I'm taking them out.
I am not really an emoji user.
Yeah, no, me neither.
At all. I'm just pretty blunt.
I'm not an unironic emoji user.
I am. I am. Hold on, I'm getting
Yasmin is the one for that.
See, here are my little things. Okay.
I sometimes use the eye roll emoji.
I know you would. That literally makes sense. I can so see John like just having like, this one.
Oh, God.
So
really?
There's this one. I love the heart, like having the hand on the heart.
Okay.
This. Yep. Ding. And then this one. I salute you. Ding. That's like, yes, ma'am. Or like, yes,
those
sir.
Are great ones.
And then this one. This one,
face
like
palm.
Surprise face.
No, it's like hand.
Oh, palm face.
The palm
yeah.
and then
hand
like,
over palm. Yeah. Hand, palm over.
Trying
mouth.
To explain this for the audio medium.
Exactly. I love yeah. the bubbles. I love bubble emoji.
Bubble.
Like it's really pretty colors. And then obviously the laughing. Oh, I also love the. That
the
one.
Sad face.
No, it's like
the face.
You love me?
No. She looks like she's. Oh, she's like emotional. She's like a wimp. It's like a wimp face.
A wimp. Okay. And then one. The last one is the. That one, you know, it's like the
tongue out,
the
sort of
tongue
crazy.
Out.
Yeah,
tongue out the side, all deranged. Right. Just did MDMA.
Good. That's a yeah. good list.
Well, I hope you got your answer. Thank you so much for it.
I have one last question before you guys go. Nicholas asks, what brings Josie and Yaz hope? And what strategies do they suggest to find community and feel less Instagram envy? It's the last question for you.
I think something that really brings us hope is getting to know the people that are not only in our generation, but that are even younger than us. I mean, I spoke at a school in Brooklyn. Well, I wasn't in Brooklyn. I was on Zoom. Wish I could have gone to Brooklyn.
In my room.
And I met in your room. And you heard the conversation that I had with them, mm-hmm. which was so inspiring and wonderful because there was all these like 10-year-olds and 9-year-olds standing so proud and true in their identity, mm-hmm. Who are LGBTQIA+ kids. And that just made me so excited and thrilled that even when I wasn't strong enough or I wasn't brave enough to like stand in my truth at such a young age, like seeing that more, I think makes us hopeful. And also, I just feel like as people in this time right now, there's this need for coming together that I think we're seeing more than ever. And I think that has been reflected in our recent midterm election in a minimal way, but in a way that we saw. And I think it's reflected in social media. I really do think people want to get along more than they don't.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
that ideology gives me hope.
That's lovely.
And also, and what was the second part?
What strategies do they suggest to find community and feel less Instagram envy?
I think a big...
What do you think?
Yeah, I think, Josie, you said it perfectly. I think a big one is investing in your friends that you have with you. Mm. And, like, I know things get busy. I know life takes a toll. But I really implore you to, you know, make that effort of just an hour of coffee if you can. Or if your friends across the country, that FaceTime and asking questions and saying, like, I saw this meme. This song reminded me of you. And I also feel like the older you are, the less likely you are to build relationships, new friendships too.
I was just about to say that this is, I'll be the old guy talking on this one. As you get older, it's more difficult to do that
100%.
With your friends because, you know, you get married and you have kids and you're busy at your job, but it becomes even more important to reach out to those friends,
to
set the time, to have like a couple hours to hang out, to go out on a Friday night. It's super important.
I mean, just as healthy.
Put in the genuine effort and be present, and also know that social media is so freaking fake. And even if you're seeing your friend on a yacht somewhere, it, you know, it might as well be a green screen.
No, because it is a green screen.
Yeah.
It's all fake.
And because it is fake. And what matters is the life that you lead and you live. And at the end of the day, when you're 6 feet under or hopefully 12 feet above in a statue, like
Josie,
I
Josie, that was
presume
incredible.
To be,
love that,
that is hilarious, Josie.
Love that.
You aren't going to be regretful that you didn't get to do the things that the people you saw on social media we're doing. Mm. You're going to be regretful that you didn't spend time with the people in your life and the ones that you love and the things that you care about.
Well, that is a perfect place to leave it.
I think we're good
a
right
lovely
there.
Thought. Josie Toda and Yasmin Hamady, thank you so much.
Thank you for having
this
us.
This was fun.
This is exciting. We should do this again.
Yeah, anytime.
Oh my God. Incredible.
Well, now you
thank
guys have
you.
To now you guys have to do like a Pod Save the World crossover with Tommy. Just
oh,
to complete,
please.
Oh, we must.
Just to complete.
We have to. We will.
And then you can talk about
done.
Iran.
Done. It's already happened.
And then we can talk
already
about Iran,
there.
The Perfect. Middle East, because everyone.
All right. Yeah. Bye, guys. Thanks.
Bye. So that's our show. We are so excited that this is going to be our last episode of the year. So next week, we're going to go dark. Sorry about that. You have to be with your family or whoever the fuck you want to be with. And it's going to be really exciting. We're going to come back in full swing in 2023. Make sure to stay tuned. Make sure to listen to us. If you're really missing our voices or really missing how we look, you can watch us on YouTube if you want and just have it on loop. And on constant loop, make sure to rate us, make sure to rate our feed, specifically on wikifeet.com. This is not a sponsored ad by Wikifeet. Happy holidays, give yourself love, and we'll see you guys next year.
Dare We Say is a Crooked Media production.
Caroline Reston is our showrunner, producer, and mommy. And Ari Schwartz is our producer and show daddy. Fiona Pastana is our associate producer, and Sandy Girard is the almighty executive producer.
It's hosted and produced by me, Josie Toda.
And me, Yasmin Hamady.
And me, Alicia Pascual Peña.
Our engineer and editor is Jordan Cantor, and Brian Vasquez is our theme music composer.
Our video producers are Mac DeGroot, Narm Melkonian, and Dylan Villanueva, and Mia Kelman.
Lastly, thank you to Jordan Silver, Gabriella Leverett, Jesse McLean, Caroline Haywood, Shayna Hortzman, Daisy Cruz, Danielle Jensen, and Awa Okaladi for marketing the show and making us look so damn good.